Let us pray once more. Our gracious God, we bless Thee and thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And may we be given the grace to believe. May we be brought to the Saviour in love and wonder and praise. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, I want you to imagine yourself running for the last bus of the day. And you worry that you will not catch it. You're too late. But you run. You do all you can. You forget everyone else who is in your way. You push your way through the crowd because you will be late. Or imagine something else. This was my personal experience as well as the bus. Your wife is pregnant. She has to go. The baby's coming. And you do not care anymore about other people, what they think, how you appear, how you're dressed. Nothing like that. You have to get her to the hospital. And so everything else fades away from your sight. Or you're late for your exam. Sadly, again, this was my experience. Late. And the exam is to start. The door will be shut. No one will be allowed in when it has begun. So you run. And you run. And you do not care how you look and how you're panting. And you push your way through the corridors of the school to get to the exam room. Imagine yourself like this. And then imagine your own soul. Your soul rushing to eternity. How do you compare, in terms of your life, your daily activities, and then your own soul, which is far more important than any exams you've taken, or any buses that you have missed. Now, the text I want to bring to you this evening is the verse 16 of chapter 16 of Luke. There we read these words, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Friends, there is a great difference, it seems to me, between the early churches and the preaching of the gospel in the times of revival, genuine revival, than today, even in faithful churches where the gospel is faithfully preached, earnestly preached, than what we find as we read the accounts, the gospel accounts, and the accounts of the Acts of the Apostles and the response of the people. Under the time of the law or the Old Testament, under the prophets of old, under the Mosaic dispensation, we could say, for those 4,000 years or so, there was but little real preaching. Oh yes, there were various prophets that the Lord would raise up and they would preach for a while. But when you look at it in comparison, there was very little preaching about the way of salvation. But when John the Baptist comes, this John who came and he preached about repentance and the kingdom of God, he was the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came before him and he preached much and he preached often. In comparison to the past, John's preaching was very, very frequent and constant. And so powerful was his preaching that people came from all kinds of backgrounds and status of life. And they were pressing, as it were, into the kingdom which he wanted to see. And I want to tell you about this. This pressing into the kingdom, it is something that is so urgent and so little seen. This urgency that you and I must have in coming to know God, in coming to know sin's forgiveness, coming with urgency, rushing to heaven. So let's think about this. It says here, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. What a word. Let's think, first of all, of the effects of the preaching of John. What was the effects of it? It says he preached the kingdom of God. And by the kingdom of God, I understand the kingdom of the Messiah, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the reign of Christ in the world and in people's hearts. His preaching of salvation, sins forgiven, that the Messiah will come to take away the sins of those who would come, the sins of the world, of sinners. He preached that Jesus Christ was come. And he pointed him out to the people. He says, behold the Lamb. Behold, that is the Lamb of God. That is the sacrificial Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He called men to repentance and to see and to acknowledge the Savior, Jesus Christ, by being baptized in His name. He announced that as the sure and only way of obtaining remission, the forgiveness, the removal of their sins, they ought to repent to God and look to the Savior, to go after Him. And some of His disciples surely did that. They went after the Lord. And immediately, the effect of this great news, the news about the Messiah, was so much that from all sorts of people, from all corners, it says everyone pressed into it. They felt the urgency. They came. And how surprising that was. Persons, all kinds of people, flocked from every corner of the land to be baptized of John. Pharisees, Sadducees, religious people, irreligious people, distant as these people had been from one another, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, their teachings were so much different, and yet they came. They had felt the power of the word that was preached, and they came to be baptized of John. Even more things we read, that all Jerusalem, now we don't think of it as being every single individual, but it was so great that it seemed as if the whole of the city had come out. All of Judea, all areas round about Jordan, the scripture says, were so moved by the preaching of John that they actually submitted to his baptism. They made a public confession of their sins. And that's a great thing. For someone to stand and confess, they are a miserable sinner in the sight of God. They have sinned against God. And that's a picture of baptism, isn't it? That we confess Christ before the world, admit that we are a sinner, but admit that Christ has died for us and we have received Him. That was the result of hearing about the kingdom of God and of Christ and the Messiah. They saw the instruction, teaching also from John the Baptist. Everyone, all kinds of people. There were soldiers who came to him. There were publicans, tax collectors. All kinds of people, generally, they were willing to come to hear John the Baptist preach and to learn of him. They wanted to hear that message. They wanted to leave the evils that were in their lives behind. And so he preached baptism of repentance. They were to turn away from their evil ways. But my friends, a sobering thought is this, that many of those people, it is to be feared, they went away. They went back. They went back after all of that. After all of that confession of their sins and their baptism, they didn't follow on. And that's very sobering. And there would be people who might make a profession of faith, and you may be in some ways moved as you hear the gospel preached or the word of God read, and you feel certain impressions upon you. But if you're not truly converted, if you don't go on with God and seek Him diligently and are truly born again of the Spirit of God, soon you may fall away and turn away. Now, that was the effect of the preaching of John the Baptist. Many came. It says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. But now, think about the effects of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our day. How does it compare? We preach the kingdom of God. We preach the gospel of salvation, even as John did. The Lord Jesus, He commanded that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And the apostles obeyed this command, preaching this teaching to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles, to the various nations. They went throughout Europe and Asia, preaching this wonderful message of salvation. And the same command also is given to us, and we do obey it. You have heard the gospel many times. You have seen how it is distributed, how it is preached in the open air. How this message of repentance towards God is preached from this pulpit again and again and again. And how you have heard that you ought to turn to Jesus Christ. That you must have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Like the Apostle Paul, we could say that we have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach Jesus Christ to be Lord, the Savior. You've heard many times the call, the invitation to submit yourself to Him, to believe Him, to repent, trust in Him, to walk in His ways. We have preached many times on the blood of Christ which was shed for us, sinners, sinners like you, so that you might be free, set free from the bondage of sin. You've heard that all who would trust in Him will surely be saved because God has promised it. And He will be faithful to His word. You've heard this. And in these things we have even better, more advantages than John the Baptist had, we could say. Because John was still speaking about and preaching about Jesus Christ, who would do these things. But we preach those things that Christ has already done. It's all completed. And He has risen from the dead. God has accepted His offering for our sins. The sacrifice is now completed. But the question is this, and this can be very depressing. And what is the effect of it? What is the effect of all of this preaching on our souls and upon our lives? Do we see everyone, as it says here, every man pressing into the kingdom of God? How many do we see? How many amongst us are truly converted and seeking the Lord? What about the boys and girls, the children, young adults, older ones, people who come in? Do we see that? They press, they hear the message, and they're pressing forward. They want to be saved. The word which is preached, it comes, it seems, generally in word only and not in power. With many people, they think that the message of the gospel is a wonderful thing. It's a nice story, nice account. But oftentimes people think, well, it's not. It's relevant for so-and-so. So-and-so needs to be saved, but not me. There are people who would think that this message is just like a story. It's a human-made story. There are people who like to hear the message of the Bible. They've been to church from a young age. They love to sing those hymns and so on. But does that move you? Boys and girls, does it really move you? Do you seek the Lord? Or you just sit, you might look this way, look at your watch, you hear something, oh, that's interesting, I never knew that. You'd read a passage, and then the final amen is said, and that's another Sunday over. Does it cause you to be moved? Or is it just like listening to something wonderful? You listen to a music, wonderful piece of music, a piano play, a flute play, and you hear a sermon. It sounds wonderful, you say. But it has no other effect other than hearing a music. There seems to be few people in comparison to what we see here that are affected under the power of the gospel, that they press into the kingdom with earnestness and seriousness and desperation. You ought to look and see around. Do you find people pressing? Do you find people in Cheltenham pressing, as it were, through all of the obstacles, through all of the problems that they are facing in this world, through all the difficulties that their own flesh and sinfulness brings and the devil also throws in their way? Do you see people who are earnestly seeking, pressing? They are counting all things but loss that they might win Christ. Do you see that? And here is a great reason why Christians must be moved to weeping with tears to see a lost world who has no care, who pays certain lip service, but there is no urgency in their soul. Are you urgent in your soul? Now let me say a few words, apply this text. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. The kingdom of God is still preached. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still preached. But what about those of you who feel like, I'm not affected by it? I'm not affected by what I'm hearing. I have come to this church for so many years. Some of you children, well, I've known some of you for at least 8 years. But then I think, well, are you really converted? What happens to you when you come in and when you hear the Word of God and when you read it and when you sing it and when you have heard it from all kinds of angles in Sunday school, in holiday Bible clubs? You've had books, you've had pamphlets, tracts, all kinds of things. How many years have we gone to church? Are you content with how things are? Are you content that this will always be like that? What goes through your mind? I would love to know. What goes through the minds of some people? Are you presuming that you'll finally win the race of life? You will finally arrive in heaven without any fighting, without any pressing forward to find the Lord, without any real seeking? And yes, maybe it may be for weeks, for months, for even years, you're seeking desperately. There must be a battle. There must be a pressing. Are you worried? Is there any urgency? For so many people, they're not worried at all, it seems. Even though they're dying, they're not worried that they will die, that they have to give an account of their lives to God. Won't you regret all of these things in your dying hour? That you've been so passive, you've been so careless, you've taken things lightly, that you wish another sermon would be preached to you, another word would come to you. My friends, one day you will open your eyes in the eternal world. What will you see? Christ, the meek and lowly Lamb, your Savior, or you will see Him as Judge. Awake, my friends. Awake. Are you daydreaming in services? Not praying, Lord, awaken me, save me today. Work in my heart today. Or are you in a daze, daydreaming, as you would? Maybe doing some work, and then you look out of the window, and then minutes have passed away. And you think, I've not finished my work. Is that the way we handle the preaching of the Word of God? Today, the Scripture says, today, whilst it is called today, harden not your heart. Listen to the words of Hebrews 3. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts. They always are going in the wrong way in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, God says, they shall not enter into my rest. What a sobering thing. And yet God says today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. So what's the state of your heart this evening? Are you affected by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? This wonderful gospel message that God sent His only begotten Son into this world because He has loved us so greatly, so He gave up His own Son so that He might die for us on the cross. He might be crucified on that cross instead of us. That's called substitution. So that we poor sinners, believing in Him, trusting in Him, casting ourselves upon Him, might be set free because He has paid the debt. The price of our ransom has been paid by His precious blood. That's a wonderful news. And you and I cannot do anything to earn that, but only to believe and repent of sin. But then there may be those here this evening who are affected by it. You're concerned, you're worried. You want to be a Christian. You want to be saved. You want to have your sins forgiven. What should you do? You want to enter and press into the kingdom of God. I thank God if there is someone hearing who wants to be forgiven, to be truly a Christian. Doesn't want to be a nominal Christian, but truly a Christian. Did you never hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has said, that many shall seek to enter into the kingdom and not be able? What a thing. Many will seek to enter into the kingdom, it says in Luke 13:24, but will not be able. How come? How come they won't be able? Well, they'll seek with good desires. They mean well. But they do not strive. They do not strive with full intention and determination of their hearts. There are other things, you see, that they want to have. They are holding to certain things and it slows them down. And so they will not get there. The door will be shut. But that is so necessary for you to be striving. It's like you're Your time is up, and so you're rushing. You're not caring about other people. You're rushing through. You want to enter in. You press in. You've seen that, haven't you? If you have been to London Tube, and people run, and they squeeze themselves in before the door shuts. That's how it is. But it is even more important with the kingdom of God and salvation, with great determination. I must be saved. I will do anything to be saved. Christ must save me. I can't die like this. But this is so necessary, absolutely necessary, to get to God's heavenly kingdom. Go after this, my friends, with all of that you have, in prayer, pleading, repenting, calling on the Lord. Oh Lord, have mercy upon me for the sake of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Your life depends on it. This is the one thing you must do. David had this attitude, this spirit, when he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, which that will I seek after." You must engage in it with all that you have, my friends. As for dear life, because that's what it is. It is your soul. It is your life. You look away from anything that you've got, anything that hinders. You look away from all of that. You cast all of those things behind you. Whatever you have achieved, whatever that is hindering you, and you must go. You must go to Him. Flee to Him. Paul spoke about forgetting what is behind, reaching forward to that which is before, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There must be no looking back. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is meaning. When you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. You started to run. You started to go. You started to press in. Don't look back, or you will not be saved. In Matthew 11 and verse 12, the spirit or the attitude of those who seek God's salvation is told. He says they are violent. That's a strange thing to say for people who are seeking salvation. He says that, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." What does that mean? It means all that I've been saying. This violence that we're talking about is like the violence of the husband who is rushing the wife into the hospital. "Get away, get away. I must get in. Nothing else matters." You press on. You go on. You strive. It is that violence of striving. It's not a negative thing. But it is this urgency. It's talking about this urgency of a striving. They must be saved. So they rush to God. Flee to His Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Why is that? Because between us and salvation, because between us and heaven, there is much opposition. That's why you rush. That's why you must press forward. And therefore, there must be this violence, as it were. You see, salvation is resisted in our own hearts. We want the easy way. Our heart doesn't find it natural or easy. There's also opposition from the world. That's why you need to strive, because of the world is against you. There are all kinds of snares, all kinds of delights flashing at you. Come this way, come in this way. There are all kinds of fears in this world, terrors. They scare us. "Oh no, I can't commit myself to the Christian way. What would people think? What would my family say? What my loved ones would say?" So the world would say, "No, don't go." So that is why you ought to strive. Press into the kingdom of God. But think about it too. God will have this striving, this violence, to test the truth of our profession. Is he really meaning it? Is he really serious about these things? Does he think my salvation is cheap? God will have us to press on and strive with all that we have so that we may value God, his salvation. I have given up all so that I might win Christ. I found this great treasure, this pearl of great price, and I am willing to give up everything because that means so much to me. It is such an excellent thing. Greatest valuable thing is salvation in Jesus Christ. To have him. And so nothing else matters. You urgently go to him, flee to him. It's necessary. And the scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is a place of not only rest, it's not only a kingdom of peace, but it is also a kingdom of refuge. Have you seen a refugee going to their place of refuge at ease? Not risking anything? Don't you hear in the news about people drowning in the sea? Risking everything. They have to get there. They have to get to the shore. And the scripture speaks of heaven, place of refuge. The Old Testament gives us a picture in Numbers 35. There's a man, accidentally, without wanting to, he has killed another person by accident. And so he flees. He has to run. There were cities of refuge that were set up in Judea and in Israel so that the manslayer would run to it so that he may not be caught by the family of the bereaved. That's a picture of this. Pressing into the kingdom of God. Don't rest a moment until you enter into the gates of the heavenly city. Do you strive then, my friends? Do you press into the kingdom of God? How do you do that? By pleading with God through his Son Jesus Christ to save you. And you will not stop. You will not stop until you're sure. And then after you're sure, daily you still strive. Strive to reach heaven by his grace, knowing that he will carry you, but you persevere to the end. That's what the scripture says. So what we ought to do, we ought to trust him. We ought to believe him, that Jesus Christ died for us, personally dying for us. That when he died, he had us on his mind. I will die for this person. I will die for that person. Have you come to believe that? Trust in his finished work. That Christ was sacrificed for us. Believe him. And then you have God's faithful promise of salvation. That you will be forgiven and saved. Now I want you to imagine your soul is rushing towards eternity. How do you treat it? How do you treat it? Do you press into the kingdom of God? Do you urgently seek him? Do you plead with the Lord until he saves you? Or will you spend Sunday after Sunday, maybe going to church, hearing sermon after sermons, and yet for it not to move you? May God speak to us and work in us and move us. Amen.